So what was it like with Roy as well?
Bear in mind, and I before I even met Roy or got engaged or anything, I was going to rugby, so I was keen on rugby.
Yeah.
I've always liked rugby, I've always liked cricket. Yeah. I've always been mad on the both. So, well, I suppose really, I met him through rugby.
Mm.
No, he'd give me a hand at anything. Like, you know, I'd say, well, take that on down, or and I'll come on down later. You know, if it was without his car, I couldn't have done it. You know, it's one of those things, like, really.
So when you were married, obviously with Roy playing rugby, I mean, how did you support Roy?
I waited for all the games. I never missed a game, not me. I've been on every club. I've been on the Lions tour. I've been everywhere. Yeah, I have. Because I was just mad on rugby. Like, I mean, I always went wherever he went. I never went with him. I mean, you didn't in those days.
No.
If you wanted to go to Cardiff, you jumped on the train, you went. I mean, very often I've gone to a game when Roy's been playing, didn't even know I'd been there. And I know when I first went out with Roy, because Roy was playing with the RAF then, and it was... That was a big side in those days, because we had like Don Rutherford playing and Roy and Derek Neat and Brace, you know, the Welsh captain. Mm. You had Mike Wade, who was the England centre. Ken Richards, the Welsh outside half. So they were beating everything. They were like a professional side. Well, my loyalty was to Gloucester, not to the RAF. So that was a bit up and down, like, at the time, you know. But I always went to watch Gloucester, and he always used to want me. You know, I remember once they were playing Cardiff, and they beat Cardiff, and it was when Cliff Morgan, you know, it was the big side, and I was here watching, like, in Bristol.
So what happened, like, I mean, if Roy got injured, presumably...
He never really got that injured, I don't think. Well, his knee went, he had his... few pokes in the eye, and what I mean they always used to come in with big black eyes and you didn't take any notice, did you? I mean, it's part and parcel of...
Well, the guys just got on.
They just got on with it, didn't they? Yeah. It's not like it is today. I mean, you didn't have the physios and all in those days. You had they did have a medical room over there. Because, they did. They had a bed over there, but they didn't have no physios or anything like that.
So you
Sponge Man used to run out, didn't they? And
bucket of cold water.
I mean, I can remember bringing a Gloucester wing back from Abervale with a broken leg on the back seat of the car and taking him straight. Yeah, honestly. With one of them things blown up on his leg. I think Stuart Dix it was. And took him up the hospital with a broken leg. I brought John Bayliss back from hospital with a broken neck. And nobody... he'd gone off injured, gone to hospital. I was down here. And the hospital rang and said, will we fetch him? Roy said to me, go and fetch John Bayliss. And I fetched John Bayliss in his kit. And he was sat in the car and he could hardly move. And got over there and he just sort of slid down. So I came across here, got Roy and somebody else. They put his clothes, because he was still in his kit, walked him over here, kept him here with a drink in him, took him home, like that. And then he was rushed into hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning with a broken neck. But this is the things that happened in those days. Nobody didn't take any notice. They just didn't. You used to just take them up the hospital. I remember there was a player from, I think it was Swansea once, and he broke his leg. And I think Roy says to me, I'll go on up and see if he's all right. You know, this sort of thing.
It's funny, my wife goes mental. Because, like, I mean, whenever I got injured, I used to whinge and whine and...
They do whinge and whine, but our household, they all used to congregate when I got married. I used to have all the rugby players, they all used to seem to congregate. And it just used to be a laugh, you know, really. I didn't used to take that much notice. You know. As long as I could go to the rugby, I didn't care. We had a nasty eye thing once back in that, but I mean, they just used to, they used to get up, and they had to go to work, didn't they, on the Monday morning? Whatever happened, hobbling or what, wouldn't it? You know? It's just one of those things. I mean, that's one good thing, what it is today. At least they got doctors, physios, and I just think half the games there wasn't even a doctor on the pitch. You had a club doctor.
Yeah.
Dr. Neil, wasn't it? I can remember going to Cardiff. I went to Cardiff once when they took the big stand down and they rebuilt it. There was only 30,000 tickets allowed that day. And Tom Boyce, you know, he was president. Mm. You've gone all through that, president of the rugby union. Well, as president, he had so many tickets. So I was always all right. I could always get down to Cardiff. He always got me tickets. Anyhow, he said, it's going to be a bit tight this year because there's only 30,000. Anyhow, he got me a ticket. I went on my own down to Cardiff. And, you know, I sat in that stand and I looked round and I couldn't see another woman anymore. I thought, oh, dear. But I sat there.
Anyway.
Sat next to Di Waters. I don't know if you've heard of him.
So what about here? Do many women come to watch the games at King's Lawn?
There wasn't an awful lot in the early 50s, but then when Roy started, you know, coming up around the 60 mark, all the players' wives used to come and watch. Not although.
No. Generally.
Well, they used to turn up out or after the game, like, you know. Yeah. No, there's a lot more women now watching rugby than there ever was.
Yeah, I've noticed.
Yeah, a lot more women. Yeah, I think you could used to sit it, because I used to sit my son in the back of the stand, and Doug Wadley and his father, we all used to sit in the back, and you could count the women round. But I mean, there's a lot of women now watch rugby.
Why do you think that is?
It's good entertainment, isn't it, really, I suppose, you know. And I think a lot of them, I think, whether their husbands are going in, well, let's join them.
Yeah.
I think that's a lot of it, you know.
I mean, you obviously like the,
I like the game.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
You like the game.
Mm.
What is it about the game that...
I said I've always watched it. I mean, and I've always liked sport. I think this is what it is. I've always liked sport. I mean, possibly if it had been a first-class soccer side here, I would have watched the soccer, you know. As I said, as a child, I went with my father. I just like the rugby. Just like...
It's a big rugby area.
Yeah, I mean, it's... But none of the school... Well, when I was at school, I mean, all the schools, all the grammar schools, and all, they only play rugby. They don't play no soccer.
Yeah.
And I always say that if you can't find a forward from Gloucester to Cirencester down to the Forest on that round, there's no forwards in the country. I'm convinced of it. Well, I mean, you look at this side now that England have put out.
Yeah.
What do we have?
Yeah.
Out of eight.
Yeah.
I know old Joan Wall's not, but Windows Gloucesterborn, Day Sims is Gloucesterborn,
Phil's
Gloucesterborn, Fizz is Gloucesterborn.
Yeah.
Where else could you go in the country with that? But you could do it in Wales with backs.
Yeah.
I think
that's
it's
great. Have you been watching any of those?
I thought that was well. That England, well.
Well, the Australian game was
terrible.
But I watched the one on.
I've been watching.
And Fitz and Simmons are having some great games, aren't they?
Well, yeah, I'll be quite honest with you. If I was picking that side for Saturday, I would put the four Gloucester players in, because when it comes on to that drive, they're masters of that. With Fitz up, in goes Window, go through. I mean. I don't know. I think Dave Sims is. I just cannot see why he's not never been capped.
Yeah,
I just cannot see it.
Yeah, it was great. It was
interesting. Oh, no, he had a good game, but he didn't. The first game, he didn't have a good game. Although he's behind a beaten pack, it's true. And it's hard for halfbacks when they're behind a beaten pack.
Yeah. But he looked.
But we should have been driving that pack on, shouldn't he? Really, I thought. And
yeah,
but.
Yeah, I mean, it's great. Those guys on there.
But I thought he played very well yesterday.
Yeah. The initially, then, so in if we go back to the catering side of things, the only was mainly voluntary.
For 32 years, it was voluntary, all voluntary.
And then you got the contract for.
Yeah, yeah. It came up that we couldn't get enough.
Mm.
Well, players' wives wouldn't have it today.
Mm.
I mean, with us, it was something to do. And put it that way, you know, and it was a good little social lot. In fact, I think it was last week, no, 3 weeks ago, we all met up again, and there was about 15 of us that originally started, which was good, really.
Yeah.
We went out to dinner, you know, and it was a good social side of it was good. But no, they wouldn't. So that's when I sent to Pete Ford, and I said, look, there's no way. And then we started to get more, because we started doing sponsors.
Mm.
We were doing the sponsors' food.
Training nights as well.
Training, sponsors, and then you had the centenary room where it was committee food, and then it went on that you were, well, when I finished up, I was down eight in the morning till nine at night, because you would sort of start off with the players, and that was your sort of fresh orange and bananas and coffee and all that at 12. Then that had to be relayed up for the committee. And then you'd have your games, and they were all sort of coming in for tea and things. And sometimes we've had down here three, we've had the United playing, the Colts playing, and the First. And we've covered it. But our biggest achievement was that those tens, and 526 meals we did, and 320 packed lunches. That was all the wins in a row. Well, they were well experienced at it, yeah. And it did frighten me a little bit when I thought, oh dear, oh dear. And they all said, oh, you can do it. Yeah, you can do it. But we've done, you know, it's been really good, really, because yeah. We've done England, County, even Princess Anne. But we did, yeah, she came down because she was, I think she's patron of the counties. Yeah. She came to one of the gang, or president of the county. And they had a reception, and we did all. They didn't bring outside caterers; we did it.
So it was still, I mean, when it finished from the voluntary and it became the contract they did for 3 years, it was still in large part pretty voluntary. Really,
it was. Voluntary. It was all the ones that, yeah.
Yeah, but just a small.
Yeah, because because you couldn't have paid them. You couldn't have paid them, say, £3, £4. You'd have had no money left. Do you know what I mean? To have bought anything.
So you still had the budget. A budget from.
Yeah,
the club,
still had a budget. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So that was from the club, was it? Because you were asked to put a tender in. How did that come about?
I just said so much ahead, like, you know. Yeah. I thought it was the lowest I'd ever by far. I should imagine. Yeah, we got sort of £2.50 ahead for training nights, United games, Colts games, and £3 for first games. But with that £3, you did, say for one instance, we would do a quarter fresh chicken, the red wine sauce, peas and chips, cheese and biscuits, coffee. So that all had to come out, and all the tea in the change room, all had to come out of that £3 and pay somebody. So you can see, like, you know, but you see, at that time, Roy had a brain tumour and he died, so I was completely on my own. If I hadn't been on my own, there's no way I would have done it. I couldn't have done it for what I, there's no way I could have put those hours. I mean, Roy wouldn't have let me put those hours in because, you know, it was day in, day out, day in, day out, day in, day out.
So, before that, I mean, when it was all voluntary, did the club look after sort of thing?
You had a dinner. They paid for the women to go out for a dinner where we wanted to go at the end of the season. And they had a season ticket, obviously, so that they could come to watch all the games. And I think they had two drinks of your choice. So it was quite, it was no effort, not really.
So the social side was...
I think that's what it was. It was the social side of it. And everybody knew all the players and everything. And it's the players' sons down here now. It seems funny, really, now.
Yeah.
But of my era, yeah.